Talking today with Oklahoma Senator Jim Inhofe. Senator Inhofe, interesting times we live in, most certainly. We have kind of been able to turn back the first cap-and-trade attempts that the Democrats were bringing forward. You did see it come out of your committee under the chairmanship of Ms. Boxer, but you indicated at that time it wasn't going to go any further. It did not. But now we've got another bill, at least under discussion. Where do we really stand on that bipartisan bill?
You know, to really understand this, you have to go back a little further than that, because when Republicans were a majority, I chaired the committee called Environment and Public Works. That has jurisdiction over all this type of environmental stuff. And in the beginning, I've discovered that the science they were using was cooked science. It wasn't good. And so I actually gave a speech on the floor 5 years ago talking about how they had fried the science. And then when ClimateGate came out, that vindicated what I said 5 years before. So I'd like to, first of all, anyone listening to us should understand that this thing is a hoax. It was perpetrated by the United Nations, picked up by the liberals out in Hollywood, MoveOn.org, George Soros and Michael Moore, and these people with millions and millions and millions of dollars to pour into causes like this. Then, of course, Al Gore got involved in this thing, and he has actually made hundreds of millions of dollars, according to one of the New York Times articles. They think he might be the first environmental billionaire. That's with a B, billionaire in the world. So a lot of people made a lot of money on this thing, and it was an attempt to change the lifestyle, as we know it, of America, to put us in a category where we would end up shipping all of our jobs to countries like India and China and Mexico. And we won. We finally got the point across. The McCain-Lieberman bill of 2003, the McCain-Lieberman bill of 2005, and then all these bills since that time to try to force us to accept a cap and trade. Now, what does cap and trade do? Cap and trade would constitute the largest tax increase in history. And it's talking about capping emissions, then trading them back and forth. And you could logically ask, well, you know, why not just put a tax on CO2? Well, the reason they don't want to do that is then people would know what a large tax increase it is. So let me bring this to my state of Oklahoma. If we were to have to pass and live by the emissions restrictions of any of the cap and trades, either the old ones or the new ones, it would cost Oklahomans each family that filed a tax return, about $3,000 a year. And you don't get anything for it. Now, that wasn't your question. Your question was, where are we today? cap and trade is dead. We have won that. However, Lindsey Graham, who is a Republican, has joined the Democrats. This is really a partisan issue. With the exception of Lindsey Graham and John McCain, it's the Democrats who have been trying to do this. So Lindsey Graham joined in with John Kerry and Lieberman and had the Graham-Kerry-Lieberman bill. What this was, it was essentially the same thing as cap and trade, but they tried to market it by bringing everybody in and then individually saying, all right, we're going to pick winners and losers, and you're going to be a winner. I'll give you a case in point. They went to the natural gas community and said, since you don't emit as much CO2 as oil, for example, or coal, we're going to go ahead and exempt, we're going to favorably treat you so that you'll be one of the winners in this thing, and we're going to go after dirty oil and dirty coal. Well, some of them actually bought into that. The people are pretty naive, and so a few did, and they did the same thing with other groups. The problem they had is this. Every time they bring a group in, they would lose a group from the right, they'd lose a group from the left. Every time they would say, well, we're going to drill, we're going to allow some drilling offshore, then they would that might win over two or three Republicans, but you'll lose 10 or 12 Democrats. So the votes just aren't there. I don't care how they massage it. Right now they are trying to capitalize on the disaster, the tragedy in the Gulf with all the oil that's coming up, and trying to parlay that into some kind of a cap-and-trade bill saying that proves we have to do away with oil and that type of thing. It's not going to work. And the reason I don't think it's going to work is they tried the same thing 20 years ago with the Exxon Valdez, and I remember that very well. And at that time, the environmentalists were rejoicing in the pollution that was taking place from that accident up there in Valdez. And so But it, they said, we're going to parlay this into, this is 20 years ago now, into retarding any kind of growth, any kind of development of the North Slope, ANWR. And they were somewhat successful. They've been, you know, that still hasn't really happened the way it should happen up there. So we have a situation where the far-left environmentalists, who are supposedly behind all these cap-and-trade bills and all these things, are the ones responsible for trying to use that for a political agenda. It's not going to work.
At this point, the major concern that a lot of our farm groups have, not so much the fact the cap and trade, they're glad that it is not going to go anywhere this year, but they are very concerned about EPA moving forward. The Obama administration seems determined to somehow regulate greenhouse gases.
Yes, I have to say this about the ag community throughout America. We could not have done what we did, we accomplished in stopping a cap and trade bill if it had not been for them. We were able, the American Farm Bureau was very, very cooperative. We were able to show clearly to all the ag people throughout the country what the, how devastating this would be to the ag community, how much it would cost them. It, when I say $3,000 a family, it would disordinately cost an ag family even more. Well, they caught on to that. They believed it. And with the help of all these ag groups throughout the country, they were our greatest partner. Now, what the president's trying to do now is what he could not accomplish with legislatively by passing a cap and trade bill. He's now trying to do administratively. To do this, we go way, way back in the 70s to the Clean Air Act. It was a good act, and it was an act to regulate pollutants. They were SOx, NOx, and mercury. Those are real pollutants. Those are things we want to get rid of. And what they wanted to do now is to include CO2 with those real pollutants. And to do this, they had to have what is called an endangerment finding. And that is the EPA say, we have found that CO2 is endangerment. It's it endangers human health. So to do this, they have to have endangerment finding. They have now come forth with that. And the reason I'm not so concerned about that is that they are basing that by their own admission on the science of the IPCC. Now, let's remember, the whole global warming thing, way back to the Kyoto Treaty, all started with the United Nations and the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. Well, the IPCC now has been totally debunked, totally discredited with ClimateGate. So they are basing an endangerment finding on flawed science. And for that reason, there are already several lawsuits filed. I think there's a total of 14 that are either filed or will be filed saying that you can't do this, you can't have an endangerment finding if it's based on science that has been, that is flawed science. So I don't think they'll get by with that. In the worst case scenario, it'll be stalled up in court until Republicans are a majority, which I think is going to happen in the November election, and we'll be able to stop these people from trying to economically destroy this country.
A couple of other issues briefly. One is the buzz, I guess, on the Senate side right now has been immigration. Is this going anywhere?
Yes. Well, you got to keep in mind that the Democrats have, in the Obama administration, they have several agendas. First of all, they wanted government-run health care. Well, they got that temporarily. Now, we'll undo it before this is over. They were able to do the heavy spending, the stimulus bills, the hundreds of billions of dollars. They have increased the deficit in 1 year by $1.4 trillion. It's just unconscionable what they have done. But they also have other agenda. For example, one agenda is closing Gitmo. I don't know why this president has an obsession to close Guantanamo Bay or what we refer to as Gitmo in bringing those terrorists into the United States, but he does. I don't think he'll be successful in that. He has the agenda of amnesty. And one of the reasons for this is he would like to bring as many people in that he thinks would vote straight Democrat. And so it's purely a political thing. And for that reason, there are a few Republicans who have joined in on that in the past. Again, Senator McCain and Senator Graham, I think, will end up in that camp. But I don't know whether or not it'll be successful. We do have a need for documented workers. Down in southwest Oklahoma, we have in the, a lot of cotton down there. And, you know, they've got to have laborers to do that. But there is a way of documenting those without having total amnesty and getting them on the voter rolls. That's the big critical issue. That's what I'm committed to stop.
Last question, sir, and that has to do with, you mentioned the elections. You must feel fairly good about at least the 2010, maybe the 2012 elections in regards to the Senate.
Yeah, I do. I think, first of all, the House is going to, most people agree that it'll go Republican. For the Senate to go Republican, we have to hold the seats we have now, which I think we'll do, and pick up 10 more. And so I think that's going to happen. And I will tell you, so you can record it here and come back after the election and tell me I'm right or I'm wrong. I'll be right, however. I believe Republicans will take over the Democrat seats in Arkansas, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Nevada, North Dakota, Pennsylvania, Washington State, Delaware, and Wisconsin. Now, you notice I didn't say New York and California in there. Those are kind of the standbys in case we don't win one of the other ones. So I think that is what's going to happen. I think the American people, if you look at just the Tea Party movement, what are their issues? If you'll remember, during the August recess of last year, their issues were, number one, they wanted to stop a government-run health system. Well, they were not able to do that. Number two, do something about this excessive spending that we've already talked about. And number three, stop cap and trade. And number four, keep Gitmo open. Well, those are the four issues that are still driving them, and those are Republican versus Democrat issues. Every Democrat that is in these states that I said we had to take over is for the liberal agenda. They may masquerade it, but they're for it, and they're going to get defeated.
If that happens, if the Republicans take over House or Senate, what about the lame duck session? How dangerous will it be?
I don't think it'll be that dangerous because they're going to have so many Democrats that not the ones who are defeated who will still be voting. Those will be on the president's side. The other ones, they're going to start thinking about 2012 when they come up. And I just don't think that they're going to be following in line. So I'm not nearly as concerned about a lame duck session as others are.